we told ourselves, like, it's a risky business. We know, because startup, it's always a risk business. Yeah. So it's like all in. You do, right. Like, you risk everything what you have. And we asked ourselves, okay, if we go bankrupt, are we sad? Of course we are sad, but do we feel that we haven't achieved anything? No, we feel that we achieved a lot.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
Hello, hello. How is everybody? I am so excited to be here at Tech Chill.
Hi, Milda.
Hi.
So we are going to be doing the Women in Tech podcast live. I am Esprit Devora.
My name is Milda.
And Milda founded an amazing company, Vinted. And are you ready to get on into it?
I hope so.
All right. So just a little bit about my background. I am a Los Angeles entrepreneur. I created We Are LA Tech. And in 2015, I launched the Women in Tech podcast. And I've celebrated hundreds and hundreds of women around the world in over 50 countries now. And I'm so excited to do this interview with you. All right. And I love Tech Chill. This is my second time in Latvia, and I just think this is amazing. Okay, so first let's get started. What is Vinted? Just this super quick introduction.
So it's a global platform for, I still want to say for girls, but actually it's for all people to sell, swap, and like clothing with each other. So.
And when you first started Vinted, it was a hobby.
Yeah.
In what year?
For the first 2 years, it was a hobby.
And what year was that?
Sorry? It was 2008.
Yeah. So at what point in that journey when it was a hobby, did it transition into becoming the Goliath it is today?
How it happened?
Yeah. Or like what was the moment where you're like, oh, this isn't a hobby anymore?
For the first 2 years, we were like, no, working as a, like, we had normal jobs.
Yeah.
In other, like, normal places. And we considered this as a hobby project, but like time to time, like all investors or other big players from Lithuania, they started to call us and they say and offer a deal, like, you know, could we buy you or could we invest in you? And I was like, no, why? Like, you know, because we were like doing our job. Of course, we were growing like insane, like 10, 20 times per month. And it was like, you know, but it was like, you know, for us, it was self-realization project.
Right.
And not a job. And yeah, and as soon as we got much more, like each month we used to get the offer. We want to buy you or we want to invest in you.
Right.
And then we said, okay.
Wait, we want to buy or we want to invest in you. That's jumping way forward because it is so hard to get there and it seems completely unattainable. Let's bring it back for a second.
Okay.
What was the vision when you created Vinted? Why create it?
It was very selfish. I wanted to have a platform. I wanted to open all the closets of other girls so I could browse, I could pick, and I could buy. And then I could sell because I had very small closets. So,
right.
You know, like a carousel. You take one, and then you remove other,
right.
And you know, it's like you circle. So, selfish idea.
And okay, so then you ran it for a couple years. Did you know anything about building websites at the time, or
no? Actually, co-founder like Justas, a colleague of mine. So we met in a party at 2008, actually, and at 2 a.m. at night, I just told him about, oh, I have the idea, and you know, this is like, you know, for girls, like to swap clothing. And he was very like, you know, skeptic because he was really like, he had one winter shoes and he said it's enough for him.
Right.
And I was like, no, oh, I have too many. I don't even remember how many.
Yeah.
So, and he was a developer.
Yeah.
So he was responsible for development side, for programming,
yeah.
And me personally for marketing and for community. So I didn't have to write a code line. Like, I never coded. So it's like, you know, I managed to to be a twinlet without any technology experience.
And you went from that hobby to being over a $200 million company today with 300 employees and sites worldwide. You're in the U.S., you're all over Europe. I mean, that's just really hard to grasp. What would you say has been the most, the biggest challenge that you've successfully overcome?
It depends whether you ask personal challenges or business challenges. So
let's do both. Why not?
Business thought was, anyway, as for most of the startups, what is your business model? And we are happy that 2 years ago we finally discovered after 8 years.
You discovered your business model after 8 years?
So this is a startup thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, we were like almost on the bankrupt. And then like we said, okay, we have money in our bank account for maybe 7 months. And don't know what will happen next. And voila, so we managed. So, and we are growing like insane at the moment. It's like the biggest growth. So it's,
let's marinate on that moment. You were about to go bankrupt. And then what happened? What did it look like? How did you feel? How did you keep on persevering while with so much stress?
Oh, that was a very difficult moment, I remember. Well, not the moment. That was maybe the last 2 years were super difficult because, well, you see that money is like going down and you don't, well, and you do lots of experiments and you still don't find a way how to monetize the product.
And but, how had you been funding it that whole time?
So usually investors used to find us. So it was like in our experience at the beginning, in the first six years, we never were looking for investors. They usually used to come to us and they say, okay, it's a nice project. We would like to join.
Right.
And only later we just made like, okay, so it's like a strategic step. We need to decide to whom we should go. And so it was like more like a professional way. But before it was like more like spontaneous, I wouldn't say spontaneous, but it was more about, investors coming to us, not us to them.
Right.
And it was pretty stressful time. And the lucky accident was that actually one guy said, okay, I'm coming for a couple of months to consult you. And it turned out to be that he's our CEO. He's like leading the company now. So he stayed in Lithuania, in Vilnius, and he showed us the way actually how to find our business model.
And they say luck is involved and it's also being prepared for the opportunity when luck presents itself.
It's combination because luck that we found that person and later on, of course, it wasn't luck. It was lots of job and lots of work what we've done. But that by lucky accident that Thomas came to us. So it was like you could look for that person, but it would be very hard to find. And here comes a guy who says, okay, in 2 months, I'm going to launch my own company, but I will consult here.
Yeah.
So it's good that he never left us. So
you made it past bankruptcy, miraculously, with the right support and the right investors finding you. And then, would you say that was the biggest challenge that you've overcome?
It's not about bankruptcy because we told ourselves like it's a risky business. We know because startup it's always a risk business.
Yeah.
So it's like all in. You do you risk everything what you have.
Right.
And we ask ourselves, okay, if we go bankrupt, are we sad? Of course we are sad, but do we feel that we haven't achieved anything?
Right.
No, we feel that we achieved a lot. We just improved the ecosystem of Lithuania. We just learned so much by ourselves. And so it was like, even though we go bankrupt, it's still, we don't go out with zero. We take lots of experience with us. And so it's like, we cannot value this like in money, any money.
And, so now you're past bankruptcy and you're growing. What was the very first challenge that you had to do to scale? At this point, were you already in the U.S. or were you still mainly in Europe?
It was totally related with Axel Partners. So it's with our first investors. And Axel Partners, if someone still doesn't know who they are, so it's like the ones who invested into Facebook, Dropbox, Spotify, Angry Birds, I'm not sure if I mentioned. So those guys just said, okay, like you did a very good job, but they knew about our parties and how Lithuania was launched in a party, how Germany was launched in a party. Czech Republic in a party, and they said, okay, let's now get back to business and let's prove that you can enter new markets as professionals, not like a punks anymore. So that was one of the biggest challenges that we had. And I think that the main challenge was us, our experience. Because what we saw, it's maybe it's my personal experience that, you know, Vinted was growing much faster than I did.
And right.
The expertise that it needed to grow, like to expand the company, to lead the company, it was like, you know, I felt like very small, and Vinted looked so big, and the gap that existed, it always was like, you know, very stressful. So it was also about, you need to defeat your ego. You need to admit that you don't know. Like, you know, for co-founders, it's very, like, sometimes it's very difficult because I'm co-founder. How come I can tell to everyone that I don't know? Well, I had to do that. And all of us had to do this. And we said, okay, let's learn from betters. And let's other people who are better than us join the team. So it was actually one of the best things that we've done.
There's two points that I really want to make sure that we address, because I know it's really important to European entrepreneurs. And one thing is, you brought up investors a lot. And sometimes it feels like we in the States have all the investment money. You've made it sound like they're just knocking at your door all the time and it's so easy to get investment money. How can everybody in the audience right now go out? What do they need to do to raise capital to meet the right relationships?
There are very common questions that usually investors ask. So at that time, 10 years ago, well, not 10, maybe 8 or 7 years ago, it was a little bit easier situation because it was still kind of a little bubble. So it was enough to show your growth. And, oh, if you're growing, it's like, you're like Facebook, so it's okay. Don't think about monetization. We will think about this later.
Right.
And now the situation is a little bit, at least what I feel, it's a little bit different. Now they ask, okay, how you're going to make money. So, but anyways, the question's going to be all the same. Like, you know, what value do you create, you know, and to whom? And always going to be one of the most important questions, who is in the team? And
it's true. It's not so much it's more the team than the company.
Yeah.
But I mean, if everybody here doesn't have one relationship at all, what would be the very first step to create those relationships, would you say?
I don't know, because we played in a bit different scene, and it was that's exactly because we didn't have that hunting experience.
Yeah.
And so I don't feel very comfortable to advise.
No, I understand.
But on the other hand, what I see from my friends who have startups, so they go to lots of networking events, like, you know, Tech Chill, you can like there is investor scene, or like, you know, you can pitch your idea. So I think that I would do this.
Yeah.
I don't know, because we didn't have such experience.
I think what you're saying, and this is so valuable, is if you build something that solves a pain point that's high enough where you could see that the market really wants this thing, kind of the same way some other like female founders have done in the companies that they've built, investors will come flocking to you because they want to be a part of a growing marketplace, of a growing industry, of a company that's doing well. So really focusing on the value and solving that pain point.
Yeah.
How did you grow to the U.S.? How did you get past Lithuania into other markets?
So our second market was Germany, and it was a party, as I mentioned. So it was like couch surfing, just two girls, random girls from Germany. They arrived to Lithuania, to my colleague Justas, and then he was coding at night Vinted, and they just getting back from the party and say, oh, Justas, what are you doing here? And it was like, no, telling the idea. And they was, oh my God, we want to have this in Germany. It's a must thing.
Right.
So, and we said like, but sorry, we don't have money because it's, you know, we don't earn money from that.
Yeah.
Because we are volunteering at this project. It was, we at that time, we called it project. And they said, we don't care. We can work for free.
You called your company a project?
Yeah.
I called my company a concept for a while.
So
it's very interesting.
Yeah, so even now I still notice that I call it project just because I used to call it project and not a company. So
it's scary to say I am a founder, right?
Yeah.
All that responsibility that comes with it.
Yeah, of course it comes.
Yeah.
So it's with Germany and the Czech Republic, it was very similar. It's about parties. And then the next one was, I guess, France or Poland, one of them. Like, it was 1 month difference. So,
and how did you get to the U.S.?
To the U.S.? First, we tried France, Poland, and then they said, okay, if you take the U.S. market, then you are a true player.
Yeah.
So I cannot say we have the U.S., even though we have, like, a couple of million members there, but But I don't feel confident to say that we are here, there. So it's coming.
It's so funny because even though you're there, since your expectations of yourself and your company are so high, you got to keep having goals higher than you've already achieved or how
it's very difficult.
Move forward.
It's very painful for your, maybe not for your ego, but for your self-confidence.
Totally.
Because you always feel, okay, I'm not good enough because I want to achieve always more. So, but anyways, it's for us, it was the only driver to go further and to reach more than others.
Fantastic. And 300 employees is a lot of human beings. What advice would you give yourself if you could talk to yourself when you had zero employees in order to be great at hiring?
For us, I guess one of the most things that worked, so we didn't try to build the culture of on purpose. It was, you know, just as me and other like people who joined at the beginning. So we were trying to invite people to our team, the ones who fit us, for like, you know, they're vintis. We have this definition. So it means that they're, you know, open-minded, achievers, relaxed, they don't go with a suit to the office, and they don't have this expectation. They usually want, like, no one-man show that you can, like, do, okay, I can do marketing, I can wash some dishes if it's necessary, I can do everything. And at the end, so finally we created a very, very, like, nice team culture, and it was, now that there are 300 people, I think that that was one of the biggest investment, like time and effort investments that we ever made. Like, because now it's like, you know, because it's still like homogeneous, I don't know how to say it.
Right.
And it's still like, you know, the culture that invites certain people that we need. And then it's like, we are not like, you know, different people, but we have the same goal and the same or similar values. And ambition. So it's.
And you're talking a little bit about your internal team culture. What is the culture of your community, and how do you continue to build community for Vinted?
Then you say community, so it's not team, but it's
outside. The outside community. Yeah.
Actually, we have 30 million members at the moment.
30 million members.
Yes. And what we see, we. By letting people to communicate with each other, it's by definition creates a feeling of community. And because at the beginning we tried some artificial ways how to make the community, but after all we made lots of researches and we found, well, even though people don't talk in forums or just don't even meet, but just ship via post items, they're still part of community. And we said, okay, so it's even much more. Like, you don't have to do some artificial, you know, features to have community because, well, the idea itself, I go to you because I want your, like, shoes. And this is how we talk. We have something in common. That's it. It's enough.
And what's one piece of advice that you've received in your journey as an entrepreneur that you'd like to embark with everybody here? A tech chill.
One thing that I repeat to myself, like, then you think it's very difficult and you want to give up, because it was maybe 6 times I wanted to say, okay, I'm leaving, it's too difficult for me. And I stayed and I was like, oh my God, it was the best decision I ever made. So reconsider if you want to quit. Reconsider if you want to run away, because maybe it's not worth, maybe it's still worth to continue. So maybe this one would be my advice.
And to your point, being an entrepreneur is so difficult, and it's not what, you know, television and magazines glamorize it to be. Why do you choose this life? Why is this life meant for you?
I haven't chosen this life, so
it chose you.
Yeah, because
I feel the same way.
If you see, like, no, if you would see me like 10, 15 years ago, so I was nothing, but like for sure I wasn't a business person, and I never imagined myself in business. So I was if I had to be on this stage like 15 years ago, so I wouldn't be here because I was shaking voice and I wouldn't be able to say a sentence. And I train myself, like, well, it's you know, I like to create, and I feel I create than I'm at Vinted. And then you do this, like, then those magazine conferences, like, no, just around you. But it's not the core, because the core is creation that you do. So
how can people stay in touch with you? Where can they find you online?
I think it's LinkedIn.
LinkedIn?
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much for being a part of the Women in Tech podcast. Again, my name is Esprit Devora, and this episode has been powered by Simplecast. I am so, so, so excited to be a part of Tech Chill. As I said, I love Latvia, and this is just such a great community, and you have such a beautiful network of people to get to know and accelerate together. If you need help reaching the U.S., always feel free to reach out to me at Esprit Devora on Twitter. I will see, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Women in Tech is an independently funded project funded by you, the community. So the way that you could support us is by going to patreon.com/womenintech and making a small contribution. Every little bit counts. That's Patreon, patreon.com/womenintech. Thank you so much for believing in our vision.